That's been my impression, too, Merlin acknowledged. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen a sign of what I was most worried about, Green Valley said. Merlin's eyebrow rose again, and the Baron shrugged. Karis has never had anything anyone in his right mind would call an army, Merlin. We had a navy, second to none, and nobody wanted to face our marines at sea. But in terms of anything a land power would describe as an army, Karis wasn't even on the map. Here in Chisholm, though, he continued, sitting back in his chair, his expression intent, the army's clearly the senior service. It was the army that broke the power of the great nobles and provided the stability here at home that let the Empress's father, and her in her turn, of course, build the kingdom's prosperity. King Salis may have started building a navy as soon as he could, since Chisholm needed it to protect its commerce against Coruscantian privateers, but it was only the prosperity created by the army which let him do that. So while we Carizians have tended to lavish our admiration and pride, not to mention the dragon's share of our wealth, on the navy, it's been the other way around in Chisholm. He shrugged again. Under those circumstances, what I was most afraid of was that the Chisholmians would automatically reject our advice about the new tactics. After all, what could a bunch of Marines know about the real conditions and requirements of fighting a war on land? In a lot of ways, that would only have been a reasonable question, too. For that matter, I imagine more than a few Carizian naval officers felt exactly that way where the Chisholmian Navy was concerned, when you come down to it. And the fact that it was our Marines who did all the actual fighting in Coruscant, that their army was completely left out, sitting here at home, could very well have fanned their resentment. Oh, they said they accepted the logistics arguments, that they understood we could only supply so many men across so many miles of ocean, which meant we couldn't afford to take along anyone who wasn't already equipped and trained with the new weapons. But I was afraid that, whatever they might have said, they would have resented being treated like some kind of farm team and left sitting in the dugout while the big league players went off to war. As a matter of fact, that was what I expected to happen, and not just because of any petty concern about the army's honor either. You know as well as I do that prestige and the ability to point to past accomplishments play a big role in how big a budget an army or a navy can expect to see coming its way. This is a professional army with a professional officer corps, Merlin. They have to have been worried that being left home while someone else did all the fighting was going to adversely affect their career prospects, one might say. I've seen a distinct undertone of resentment out of quite a few civilian Chisholmian bureaucrats, who seem to think Karis has gotten an unfair share of the power and advantages under the Empire. So I don't think it would have been unreasonable for the army to have felt that way.
I know, Merlin nodded. I've seen the same thing. From the bureau, Although for some strange reason, they seem a bit more leery about showing their resentment around the Emperor or the Empress.
No, really. I wonder why that might be. Green Valley mused with an innocent smile, and Merlin snorted. As I say, I really was concerned about the army's possible resentment over being left out of the Coruscant campaign, Green Valley went on. And I have seen a little bit of it, but not very much, thank Langhorne.
So they don't seem to be upset about the sudden infusion of all the Marines, either? Merlin asked. He was watching Green Valley attentively. The Baron had been chosen for his present assignment. Despite his relative youth, he was still well short of 40, and painfully new elevation to the aristocracy, not simply because he was so good at his job, but because of the acuity of his insights. Now Green Valley gave the Sajan a wry headshake, as if admonishing him for having asked a question to which they both so obviously already knew the answer.
No, it hasn't, he said out loud. Partly, I think that's because of their professionalism.
They're more interested in learning how to do their jobs even better than in defending their reputation for how well they already do them. In that respect, they remind me a lot of our naval officers like Earl Lock Island and Baron Rockpoint. They're professionals first and prima donnas second, or even third. But as I say, that's only part of the reason. Green Valley's eyes were narrow now, his expression intent. I think probably an even bigger reason is that, aside from its very uppermost ranks, such a huge percentage of the Army's officers are commoners. One of the things I think most frustrates the great nobles who are so unhappy with the Emperor and the Empress is the way they've been shut out of any real positions of power in the Army. It would be stupid of them to be surprised by that, I suppose, since the whole reason King Salis and Baron Green Mountain, and Holbrook Hollow, to give the man his due, created the Royal Army in the first place was to restore the Crown's prerogatives at the expense of the nobility. After the amount of fighting that took, I don't think it should astonish anyone that they decided against handing out generalships to any nobleman whose loyalty to the Crown they weren't totally sure of. And the fact that low-born soldiers could, and have, risen to high rank in the army helps explain how enthusiastically the commons support it. Here in Chisholm, the army holds exactly the same position, as far as the commons are concerned at any rate, as the navy does in Carus, and it's young enough and professional enough to be genuinely flexible. He shook his head. I honestly never expected just how flexible it really is.